Shalom, everyone. This is Amir Tzarfati, and I'm live from Galilee, from Israel. It is right now a little bit over 6 p.m. here, and we are 26 hours into Operation Breaking Dawn that began at 4:16 p.m. yesterday with the following event that you will see right now. Watch this. So if you're wondering what you just saw, I'll tell you in a few seconds, and I'll tell you the whole story of what happened, how it started, who are we fighting against, and what's coming next. So why don't we start with a prayer? Father, we thank you so much that you're in full control. There's so many conflicts all around the world, conflicts in Kosovo and in Serbia, conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, conflict between Russia and Ukraine, Taiwan and China. And of course, here in our neighborhood, as always, as usual, we've got those that when we speak peace, they are for war, as Psalm 120 says. So, Father, we know that these things were foretold. We know exactly who we are surrounded with. Father, we know that you are the one that is the beginning and the end. You are the one who knows the beginning and the end, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. And we thank you that we know your word, we know your promises, we can stand on them, hold on to them, and know that our redemption is indeed drawing near. We thank you and we bless you in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. So shalom again. This is Amir Tzarfati. This is a special Middle East update about Operation Breaking Dawn. This is the code name for the Israeli military operation against the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip. And let me now try to explain what happened. Now, if you haven't been following me on Telegram, you probably miss out. You'll miss out a lot because over the past almost 6 days, I kind of prepare you for something that is about to happen. I described a situation in southern Israel that was unbearable. I described a situation where we are bracing for a major terror attack from the side of Gaza. I also told you that there was a direct order from Iran to the Islamic Jihad to operate against Israeli military and civilian targets. All of that in order to put some fire under this resistance against Israel. Iran has been dealing with a lot on its own soil. Iran is seeking for revenge, and it's using its usual proxies all around the world. Now, make no mistake, in the Gaza Strip, which is a very small territory in the southwestern corner of Israel, this is a 25 miles on 6 miles strip along the coast of the Mediterranean. There's 2 million Palestinians that live there. And of the 2 million Palestinians that live there, take a look at how many terror organizations are there in that particular piece of ground. Okay, so this is it, folks. We've got Hamas. We've got the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades, the Democratic Front of Liberation of Palestine, the Palestine Liberation Organization, the Harkat el-Sabirin, the Popular Resistance Committees, What I'm trying to say is that there's so many of them. Now, the sovereign in Gaza Strip is the Hamas. It's the Harikat el-Muqawwame el-Islamiyya. This is an acronym of these few words, and which means this is the movement of resistance, of Islamic resistance, basically. The movement of Islamic resistance, Harikat el-Muqawwame el-Islamiyya, Hamas. And they are the biggest organization, the most funded one. They are the rulers of Gaza right now. But there are some other terror organizations, and they all work sometimes together, sometimes separately. Now, when Israel is dealing with Hamas for some sort of, I guess, keeping them quiet, when we deal with Hamas, we don't deal with Hamas in order that only Hamas will stay quiet. We allow them to have gasoline from Israel, all goods from Israel, electricity from Israel, water from Israel, all of that, in order for peace that will not only include Hamas people, but everyone. Well, guess what happened? Hamas decided that, yes, they might not take part of this whole thing, but they are going to allow the Islamic Jihad to release some steam and do what Iran is telling them to do. If you happen to ask yourself, who are those Islamic Jihad, Palestinian Islamic Jihad? It sounds like part of the worldwide global jihadi movement. You are very right. The IDF released a video this morning, and I think you may want to watch it and get an understanding of what the Palestinian Islamic Jihad is all about. So watch this one.
Is the Islamic Jihad in Gaza? The Islamic Jihad in Gaza is a terrorist organization operating under the leadership of Iran in Gaza. They follow an extreme Islamic ideology. The organization was established as part of a global jihad phenomena that includes Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah. The ideology of this organization sees terror as the primary tool for the destruction of the State of Israel. The Islamic Jihad in Gaza is a terror organization recognized by the EU, UK, US, Japan, Canada, and Australia. The Islamic Jihad in Gaza is solely a military organization, not a governmental movement, and has no intention of leading the Palestinians. Its only purpose is to inflict terror by any means in order to harm Israelis. The organization has carried out over 400 terror attacks and has killed and injured hundreds of Israelis. The Islamic Jihad in Gaza carries out terror attacks against the State of Israel and its citizens on a regular basis and prevents peace and safety in the area.
So now you understand what the Islamic Jihad is all about. This organization we are dealing with today is the Palestinian branch of it. But as you know, all around the world, there are jihadi movements. Now let me explain what happened. Over the last 2 weeks, Israel apprehended quite a few Islamic Jihad operatives, not in Gaza, because we're not operating within Gaza, but in the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria. And as of 4 days ago, we arrested the leader of the Islamic Jihad in the West Bank. Immediately after that, some weird thing happened in southern Israel. When I say weird is, suddenly the Israeli military imposed closure of roads and train tracks all around the Gaza Strip, but I'm talking about the Israeli side. No Israelis were allowed to drive from the rest of the country towards those towns and villages. The train traffic was stopped. Buses were not allowed to drive. And Israelis asked themselves, what in the world has happened? We're not dealing with killing some terrorist. We just arrested someone. That's it. What in the world happened? And a day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed, and that's when the picture became clear. The orders received from Iran, and while I say that the leader of the Islamic jihadis right now in Tehran as we speak. And the orders were that Islamic Jihad in Gaza must execute immediately a terror attack on both Israeli soldiers and civilians using anti-tank guided missiles that are probably the Russian Cornet ones. We already received the information of who has it, where they have it, where they're going to shoot from, and what the targets are going to be. We've got a lot of human intelligence among their ranks, and I guess they know that by now. Israel immediately did not take any chances and stopped every potential target of these killing rockets. These are rockets that are very precise, very fast, and very lethal. And what happened is that immediately behind the scene, negotiations began, and it was led by the Egyptians. Egypt wants to be the negotiator for two reasons. A, Egypt is bordering with Gaza as well. B, it elevates Egypt to a level where it is a superpower, Arab superpower in the area that people ask it to intermediate between parties. It will have the name and recognition in world media as well. Therefore, the Egyptians started telling the Islamic Jihad, look, you better not do anything because the Israelis are serious. The Islamic Jihad was not willing to say to cancel their plans. We began to watch the preparation for this terror attack, massive terror attack that was supposed to hit Israeli trains, Israeli buses, and Israeli civilian houses. What happened is, listen to this, Israel operated with deception. If you know the Mossad, deception is one of the ways, and by the way, it's a biblical way to fight a battle. We normally try to deceive the enemy when it comes to the moment of the beginning of an operation. What happened is this, we said two things in the media, and also to the Palestinian side. First thing we say, in a couple hours, less than 2 hours, in an hour and a half from now, Israel will enter into the most solemn day of fasting apart from Yom Kippur. And that is the ninth of the month of Av, Tisha Be'av. This is the day where we commemorate five things, among which two are the destruction of the first and the second temple. But then there's more things that we commemorate on those on that day. We believe all of those terrible things happened to the Jewish people on that day. That's why it's a fasting and fast day. Okay, so we said, well, we're not going to do anything anyway until this is going to be over, which is tomorrow night. The second deception is Israel informed the Palestinian side that because they have a shortage of fuel for their power plant, and because everything was closed because of this high alert, we will allow them to open their gates and we will let them have some fuel at 4 p.m. As we said that, we brought some tankers driving towards Gaza. So not only that the Palestinians received, you know, the information that gasoline is on its way, they saw the trucks. So they were sure that they have at least 24 hours before Israel will respond or Israel will do anything. During that time, they can continue threatening us and they continue working towards the execution of their terror attack. And exactly at 4:16 p.m., this is the thing that happened. Israel received precise intelligence of the leader of the northern part of Gaza on behalf of the Islamic Jihad. That's the guy, Taysir, let me see, there you go. This is the guy, that's not the guy. This is funny. Here is the guy. So we can clearly see that this arch terrorist is the one that was sitting in a house plotting this terror attack with all of his gang. Israel immediately sent a few F-16s and also some unmanned flying vehicles. And take a look at what happened, as I showed you. The operation. Operation Breaking Dawn began at 4:16 p.m. yesterday. And listen to this. In the last 26 hours, over 350 rockets. I hope you listen carefully. In the last 26 hours, over 350 rockets were fired from Gaza towards Israel by the Islamic Jihad. And 95% of them, 95% of them were thwarted by Iron Dome. Either that, 95% of those that managed to cross into Israel. The reason why I say that is some of those rockets actually took off and fell within Gaza and caused damage and casualties to the Gazans by their own rockets. In fact, as of yesterday, when they only launched 100 rockets, about 30 of them already then fell on their own people. Islamic Jihad is not as sophisticated as Hamas. Hamas is the ruler, and Hamas has more means and more authority, and I believe they have obviously more precise weapon. But Islamic Jihad is promising even wider response, and they're shocked because they did not see that one coming. So far, over 15 terrorists of the Islamic Jihad and a couple of the other terrorist organizations I mentioned earlier were killed. Unfortunately, there were also a 22-year-old and a 5-year-old females that were killed during those strikes, the Israeli strikes. And of course, I wish it didn't happen, but again, these terrorists are launching rockets from within heavy populated territory. And when you want to hit those rocket launchers, unfortunately, sometimes these things happen. No one is holding them responsible for plotting terror against Israel and from launching rockets from the heart of the most populated and densely populated area in the world. They've got tunnels underneath schools and hospitals, terror tunnels where they keep rockets underneath schools and hospitals. And yesterday I was, if you follow me on Telegram, you could see that I predicted, and I'm not a prophet, but I predicted that Russia, Iran, and Turkey are going to condemn Israel for the strike. And literally 3 minutes after I wrote that on Telegram, the Turkish condemnation came. Today, the Russian condemnation came. And from the moment we began Iran's condemnation, Iran actually went beyond that. Believe it or not, I'm going to my Telegram right now, and let me show you what the Iranians said. Believe it or not, watch this. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards commander of the Al-Quds force said the following thing a few hours ago. Hezbollah in the north from Lebanon. Hezbollah plans to deliver the last blow to the Zionist entity that will remove it from the map at the appropriate time. Every day, 15 operations are carried out against the Zionists. That's what they say. So they understand they failed with their order to execute a terror attack from the south, and now they're already threatening to utilize their proxies in the north to destroy and eliminate Israel altogether. Israel, in the last 26 hours, not only attacked those commanders and liquidated them, but also started attacking some rocket launchers. And later on, now comes the payment of all of those families that are harboring rockets and harboring terrorists. Israel, and if you followed me here on these Middle East updates, you know what we have a routine of what we call knock on the roof. Knock on the roof is when we release a small rocket that has no explosive on it, and it falls on the roof of the house to alert the people to leave, because we are the next rocket that will fall will actually destroy the house. And this is exactly, take a look at this. The street is very quiet because nobody's there, because the knock on the roof took place. Everybody cleared the place. Again, these targets are the reason why we only have 13 or 15 terrorists dead. It's from previous attacks. These targets were clear from women, children, and of course, everybody else, because we warned them. We knocked on the roof and we warned them. Here I hear the F-16s taking off from next to my house. They're on the way. Now it's Shabbat right now. Normally they never fly on Shabbat. They're on their way to Gaza right now. And so this is what we have right now. 26 hours, 350 rockets so far. We killed some of the most senior terrorists of the Islamic Jihad. And Hamas is still not taking part of all of this because they understand that they've got a lot to lose. Israel finally is decisive on doing something. If I may say, it's too little too late, because we should have never allowed them to get to that point where they have so many rockets and they can launch that many and they can literally keep hundreds of thousands of Israelis in bomb shelters. Even now, all the towns and areas around Gaza, everyone is now sitting in a bomb shelter. In fact, at least in one incident, a rocket hit a house in the town of Sderot. Thankfully, the family was very, very cooperative with the instructions, and they ran to the bomb shelter. Just so you know, I'm showing you a map of Gaza and how many seconds or minutes you have to run according to the proximity to Gaza Strip. Take a look at this one. Okay, so you see Gaza is far on the left. You see where it's a white area. And then you see the brown and the red and the cream and the yellow and the green. And you can clearly see, folks, that all the brown area, which is, and the red area, they've got anything between 15, 30 to 45 seconds to run and find shelter. The rest beyond is 1 minute, and beyond there is a minute and a half. This is it. When you hear the sirens go off, you have anything from 15 seconds if you're close to a minute and a half if you're far away to run and find shelter. A couple people injured when they ran into the bomb shelter, at least five, I think. One person had a heart attack, but nobody died. And again, the family that suffered a direct hit on their house, all of them sat in the bomb shelter. And when, they ran within 15 seconds. And when they came out later, they saw that the whole house is destroyed, but the bomb shelter, because it's thick concrete walls, still standing. And that was thankfully a miracle. So this is what we have again, folks. This is not the most serious conflict. We've got people that we fight against. This is direct order Ziad Nahle is the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. He's in Tehran. He receives all of his orders from there. It's funny because at 5 p.m. he was supposed to be live on Iranian TV for an interview. And at 4:16, we started the operation, and it destroyed all of his plans to show off, to spread threats. And he actually was watching his own commanders on the ground taking shelter and running away and getting hit. So this is what we have, folks, right now on the ground. This is going to last at least 2-3 more days because they need to save face. They cannot at this point give up and say, okay, no, they need to do something. They need to at least cause some casualties to the Israelis in order to save face here. And the Egyptian delegation already began to negotiate, but the Palestinian Islamic Jihad is saying we're not in a hurry. At this point, we're looking into escalation rather than de-escalation of this whole situation right now. So again, as you can see, Operation Breaking Dawn entering into a second day, 350 rockets so far. Israel liquidated or assassinated top commanders of them. We thwarted their original plot to hit Israeli vehicles, Israeli trains and buses by anti-tank rockets, Russian-made Cornet rockets, a direct order from Iran. And this is where we are right now. Now, I've got two good news to share with all of you. First good news is we have launched the first ever floating prophecy conference on a cruise to Alaska, as you can clearly see, together with Michael Lake, Barry Stagner, and Mark Hitchcock. I'm going to be one of the speakers there. But the good thing is, listen to this, we received 400 slots, and we sold out within 90 minutes. We asked for more. We received another 400. We're already almost at 700, so only 100 left. But the good news is the cruise liners are about to lift all their COVID restrictions by next month. We believe they will do that. We're not sure 100%, and because we're not sure 100%, Inspiration Cruises is the ones that we're using to operate our cruise, is having a special plan called Book with Confidence program. And basically what happened is that you can register for the event. And if you're not interested, knowing that you can actually cancel for no fee if the current mandates don't change by December 31st. So you have nothing to lose. Again, from what we know, the mandates will be lifted by next month, which means that's it. Everyone can go. But again, you can book it on this program, not changing. Then what you need to do, you can actually by December 31st cancel and not pay anything. This is pretty good. And I urge you to do that and something more slots left. Hurry up. And another thing, another good news is, remember I released my first ever fiction book, Operation Yoktan. Operation Yoktan became a bestseller. I don't know if you can see that, but it became bestseller on USA Today and Publisher Weekly and other places. Well, we've got the sequel coming out, and it's called By Way of Deception, where I describe real events of the Mossad on Iranian soil to foil the Iranian plot to have that's Operation Yoktan. As you can see, it won USA Today and Publisher Weekly bestseller. And By Way of Deception is now ready for available for pre-order. Go ahead and do that, folks. This is going to be the best thriller you can get for, Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatever, because it's released in October, but go ahead and get it right now. Look, I will only conclude with this. Israelis are going to enter into a fasting day tonight. They actually fast. Tisha B'Av is all about the following thing. Five things that they are actually fasting about, mourning about. First, they believe that the 9th of Av, they believe that this is the day that the generation of the wandering in the desert realized they cannot, and they are not going to enter the land of Israel. They believe it happened on that day. They also believe the first temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. They believe the second temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av. They believe that another important town called Beitar was destroyed by the Romans on the 9th of Av. And they also believe that eventually the Roman governor of Judea in 134, 135 AD literally came back to the site of this destroyed second temple and just plowed it all the way to mark that the Jews will never build a temple again. I will only tell you this, folks. I will tell you that there will be another temple, and the Jews will have to mourn about that one, not for being destroyed, but for being built. And what I'm saying is this. Remember, the third temple is being described both in the book of Daniel in chapter 9 and in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as the temple where the Antichrist eventually will walk in and declare himself as God. And the most horrific time period in the history of Israel will thus begin. And so if we are now mourning over the destruction of the first and the second temple, how much more the Jews will mourn over the building, the fact that they were so tricked by the Antichrist to build a temple and eventually have it used by the Antichrist. Satan is the one who give him the authority and the power, and the Antichrist himself will persecute the Jewish people that will not take the mark and will not worship him. And this is, of course, where in Revelation 12, God will prepare a place for that nation that gave birth to the Messiah in the desert. And for 1260 days, the latter part of the tribulation for those faithful Jews that did not participate in the worship of the beast, there will be a place for them saved. God will protect them. And then when Messiah comes back in his second coming, he will bring them back home and they look at him whom they pierced, as Zechariah 12 says. That's the moment they will repent. So the Jewish people will have to mourn at least twice more before they can ever enjoy the millennial kingdom. One, they will mourn over the fact that the third temple was built. And the second time, they will mourn over the fact that when they see the Messiah, true Messiah, Yeshua, returning, they will realize that it was him throughout this whole time, the one whom they pierced, the one whom they rejected 2,000 years ago. And they will see that there is no remedy from any of their rabbis, from traditions, and from any of their oral law, and they will understand he is the one. He is the one, the promised Messiah, the deliverer of Israel. And after mourning and repenting and accepting him as Lord and Savior, they will be entering into the millennial kingdom, and thus the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled. So again, there is a mourning that will take place today, tonight. But that mourning is nothing compares to the one Israel will have to go through when they realize the mistake they had following the Antichrist. And even more so, the real, true, genuine repentance will come when Christ will return on earth for the second time, and they will look at him whom they pierced. Folks, pray for Israel. They need to open their eyes to see their Messiah. Keep them in your prayers. Pray for Israel now to know how to deal with their adversaries right now. You know, our dangers are not getting fewer, but they're getting more and more, as we know that the coalition of Ezekiel 38 is already forming itself, and as we know that the situation overall around the world is becoming unstable with financial instability, political instability, military instability. And so Israel eventually will also be part of this whole global chaos that will allow a new world order to rise, where China and Russia will want to lead now instead of America. And we'll see what happened. We know the end from the beginning. We know the whole plan. We know the end of the story. We are not to be troubled or even worried. As Jesus said, look, that's the beginning of things. Don't be troubled when you see all of these things. And I'm not going to sit here and scare you. I will tell you, there is hope. There is great hope. But the hope is only in the Messiah. It's not in governments, and it's not in militaries, and it's not in parliaments, and it's not in economies. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your, in your intelligence, and it's not in your wisdom. It's all about in the Messiah. And of course, you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want to be out of here before things will go too bad, and you want to be part of the bride and come back with him to rule and reign, and not be here when this birth itself of all those terrible judgments will take place throughout those 7 years tribulation period. Folks, thank you for listening. Again, I gave you a comprehensive update of what is going on. If there is more, please, please, please subscribe to my Telegram. I'm going to put a video of how you can do that. One word, Behold Israel Channel. It's three words in one, Behold Israel Channel. That's how you can find me on Telegram. And I'll conclude with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. Shalom. God bless you. This is how you can get Telegram. Go there. I'm almost at 300,000 there. And again, the only place where I can give you freely news without being shadow banned or restricted. Thank you, God bless you, and shalom from Galilee.
Join the Amir Sarfati and Behold Israel channel on Telegram. Here you will receive daily updates and audio messages from Amir. You can also take part in our community and reply with comments. Getting started is easy. Simply download Telegram from the App Store, then visit the Behold Israel Telegram channel in your browser. From there, click Preview Channel, then click Join. That's it. See you on Telegram.